when he can't say shit. My hatred is few, just give me a sign, and I let the world know that the city is mine. What?
Hey, yo, how you doing, guys? This is Deshaun Woods of your City of Coaches podcast. Yes, City of Coaches podcast here today, early August, I'll say almost mid-August 2019. Talk about various different topics. Today's going to be pretty loaded because obviously I haven't talked to you guys all summer. But you know how it is. Summer gets busy. You basically work hard and do a lot of stuff this summer so you prepare yourself for the rest of the year. And that's just the way it goes. This year's over in 4 months, right? It's crazy. Time fly. Almost 9 months in. So have everybody on what they need to do in their P's and Q's. But anyway, so we'll talk about various topics. Obviously, the NBA is a discussion. We'll talk about USA basketball. We'll talk about a little slightly about college, and we'll talk about the alternate route that a lot of high school players are getting into now. We'll talk about the NBL. Which is a new lead out in Australia and New Zealand. It's picking up a lot of steam. Talk about not Lonzo Ball. We'll talk about LaMelo Ball, right? So changing up a little bit. I got a good feeling about LaMelo. I think he's going to have the piece that Lonzo probably wish he'd had. So I think LaMelo's going to be backed off on that. So we'll get right into it. So NBA schedules came out here. Right, the NBA schedule just came out. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the City of Coaches podcast. First and foremost, I guess the I know everybody's talking about the matchups. We all know who won't win there or here, but since you guys, this is content, so we'll talk about it. We'll first and foremost talk about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving's over there in Brooklyn. They made some room for their friend DeAndre Jordan. Shout out DeAndre. We go way back personally. So they made some room for him to get onto the team as well. So we'll see what Brooklyn do until KD gets back into the game. Obviously Anthony Davis, Boogie Cousins, Danny Green? Who else is over there? Rondo, obviously LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma got to stay over there. So obviously, my favorite team, the Lakers, is stacked with names. I can't say talent. Can't say it always works because chemistry is very important in sports. It's just not an arcade game. I mean, I know they model a lot of arcade games after real life now, but just to be honest, you can't just put all stars on one team and assume it's going to work. We can speak on my 0405, my Lakers with Karl Malone and Gary Payton. You just talk. I mean, there's various other teams that try to get a lot of people to go for a ship, and it never worked. So I'm not saying I don't know the outcome, but the NBA is going to probably make a prediction before the season start. So I'm looking for the season to be a lot spread out. All right, I'm looking for a lot of situations where you don't know. This is very exciting because you don't know who's going to win, right? You got the little matchup with the LA Clippers, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and with the whole core that Coach Doc Rivers has coming back as well. So, they'll be coached correctly. So it'll be a nice little fighting team with a little some more talent around them. They made it to the playoffs without any, a top five player or whatever. So at least they'll have at least one. I can't really give Kawhi Leonard the top five label. That's just my opinion, and I can get onto that later. But, yeah, so according to the public's opinion, they got a top five player now and decent maybe top 15, 20 player in Paul George on the team with him as well. Can't ignore Philly. Philly just re-up with a lot of tall players. Whew, Philly's going to be a very tall team. You got Ben Simmons running point, who's what, 6'8", 6'9", maybe not 6'9", but maybe 6'8". Then you got all these wing players. You got big bodies. You got Al Horford in the paint. Philly is stacked with a lot of height. I can't say. And they just grabbed the Ohio native, Trey Burke, who was actually from Columbus, Ohio, where I'm from as well. So they scrapped him up for a nice little backup situation. It's really unfortunate for him that, it doesn't matter. I was about to say he didn't get the recognition, but you know what? Everybody has a chance to come back. So maybe it's a chance for him to really come back and be part of a real contending team for him to get another good contract before, you know, his career is out. So I'm rooting for Trey Burke, you know, local town hero. Turns to us, you know, Rockets. Can't forget the Rockets. I mean, Rockets is going to be trash. But anyway, they got Westbrook and Harden, so it's going to be a lot of interest. I really don't see that working whatsoever, and I really try not to be critical before the ball even goes up in the air. But let's be honest, man. I think Westbrook is a phenomenal player, and I think he's one of the best players in the NBA. He's definitely a good scorer. James Harden, just ball dominant. Two ball dominant players. I don't see how this is going to work. Not for the remnants of an 82-game season. Maybe for All-Star game, maybe a couple playoff series. Not even a couple. One playoff series. Work fine. So we'll see how that go. I'm trying to see what else. It's been a while since the draft and all that. Look, New Orleans. Let's talk about New Orleans, okay? I want to talk about New Orleans Pelicans. I know they're not going to win the championship this year, but if David Griffin finds out how to keep that team together for the next 5 years, Pelicans can win two championships. I know I'll be pushing, and I'll be up there in upper echelon of 40, I mean of 30, but I really feel in my hearts of hearts I don't know, because you got to think about it. You got Zion Williams, who's a rookie. Lonzo Ball is going to have more freedom, not going to be L.A. where it's just under a lot of limelight, and I feel like his father is not going to have this position that he had before, which I never felt like his father bothered the situation for him, made any distraction on the court, but the media won't be so gravitating because it's not sunny L.A. So you got Zion, you got Josh Hart coming off the bench. I really don't know what's going on with Brandon Ingram. I'm wishing him well in his situation. I hope Brandon, you know, turn around his blood clots and never get another one in general. Forget basketball, just in life. He doesn't get any more blood clots that could risk his life. So the verdict is still out on Brandon Ingram. But they got three good. So they got Zion Williams. They got the kid. I'm really good at names, but not today. What's that kid's name? Jackson Hayes. Jackson Hayes from Cincinnati, Ohio, who honestly was a sleeper. The kid is a pure seven-footer, almost seven-footer, if you're not a seven-footer. He tore up the summer league out of nowhere. So they got a steal. I know New Orleans moved up for him. That was a good situation for them. I know they're gonna start Derek Favors on the strength because he has more experience. I can't say much that Derek Favors did anything crazy in Utah. I know he just stayed the course. Sometimes staying the court gives you a steady paycheck, right? You can get a really good contract and to be out of the league in 3 years, or you can just get minimum contracts and minimum, but you know, minor contracts. I still have minimum minor. I guess I'm still saying, though, you get certain contracts that keep you afloat. So, I mean, that's what Derek Favors has done. So they're going to give him the nod over Jackson Hayes. I can't see Jackson Hayes being on the bench any much longer, especially with Zion in the game. It is a game that's a lot quicker. These kids are jumping unbelievably high. I mean, these kids are doing windmills in eighth grade now, right? I remember eighth grade. I first dunked in eighth grade myself. And it was just some basic one hand with all my might. Couldn't believe I got in the air when it went in. I lost my mind. These kids doing – I mean, you look at LeBron James' son doing 360s. Maybe not 360, but at least I saw him do a windmill. Windmill. He ain't even touched the high school court yet. And I think he was dunking right after his seventh grade year of high school. I mean, in middle school. Okay, that's crazy. But back to Jackson Hayes. So Jackson Hayes, that is my sleeper for the draft. I really want to see what he'll do in New Orleans. All right. They got the Alexander kid to back up Holiday, so I'm excited to see Holiday have an opportunity to lead the team as well as they got Alexander. So they got a nice little core situation. David Griffin definitely is there for the long haul. I did see him make a little jab, necessarily not at LeBron James, but just the statue where everyone thinks, you know, playing with LeBron James. This is my personal opinion. I've always said playing with LeBron James is probably one of the toughest things for any player because you're not going to get any of the credit and you're going to get all the blame. It's probably the first time in the history, maybe in Jordan days, but I was a kid. I probably, when Jordan retired, I was 9 years old. So I don't really know. But in my grown adult days, I've never seen such a situation where one player gets all the credit and never the blame. I mean, honestly, and it also could be his personal life, how he's making a power move, and maybe his analysts, they want a secondary career after ESPN or Fox News cut him off. Maybe they want to work with LeBron, so I want to make sure they stay in his good graces. That's the only thing I can think of, because the man gets no blame for anything negative. You know, I mean, it's amazing. But outside of that, he does do a lot of great things. He's probably done a lot of great things for a lot of NBA players, especially former players, what I understand. So I understand why he has a lot of love and support from a lot of people. You put money in people's pocket, they love you, regardless, period. Doesn't matter who you are. Not saying that's what he's doing, but that's what he's doing, just in a different way. I love my Lakers to the core. I'm just praying that we'll be able to get through and pull something out in this situation. So, I mean, you have that. So you have all that going on in the NBA. I understand, you know, speaking of LeBron James, we can talk about his camp, like Rich Paul. Rich Paul is one of his friends, was his first agent. He made Rich Paul an agent. And in return, he created this agency. And now, right now, Clutch Sports, which is Rich Paul's agency, it's technically LeBron's, but I guess obviously LeBron can't be an agent and a player at the same time. But you know who funded that agency. That's just my opinion. Anyway, I mean, they're making a lot of moves and getting a lot of players. I don't understand why the NCAA, I mean, obviously they haven't come out and say, yo, we made a rule against this guy who doesn't have a bachelor's degree, but he, let me tell you something, man. There's certain fields. A lawyer, I expect you to have all the education you're supposed to have. Why? Because really, it's a self-governing position. And honestly, truthfully, you need to be educated in all forms of situations. Doctor, yes, I understand you need to be educated in all forms of dealing with anything, because if you don't have the answer, no one has an answer. Right? So a doctor has to have all the answers. So that means they have to get, you know, doctor's degrees. That's what they got to do. Right? But certain things, some criteria in this world, hell, I got a bachelor's degree. Like, I mean, well, you know, it's probably my mom's house or something. I don't know where it's at. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you don't, and then you can go into one field, and then you end up leaving that field that you started when that you thought you wanted so bad. Right? So honestly, truthfully, I don't know. I mean, especially in today's world where entrepreneurship is everything, and it doesn't take you anything, but maybe some money and some sacrifices to create your own business. And I mean, that's the route we go. But long story short, and plus, my biggest thing for that, so it's not even a bachelor's degree he has to have. He has to have some kind of certifications, which I'm fine with certifications. But honestly, my thing, I understand if he was going to be a college coach or a recruiter. Right. Obviously, if you're going to be a college coach or recruiter, you got to have the education that you or recruiting someone to be a part of. It makes total sense. You can't argue that. Right. Like, you have to have the experience and education for that. Right. I mean, I guess you can't argue, but honestly, it makes logical sense. But how can NCAA tell a kid, yo, don't hire this agency if you want to come back to play college basketball? If you want to test the water, you got to go this way and this route, right? Which, I mean, everybody wants to test the waters. I mean, honestly, if you're in, I guess you're speaking more to mid-majors, because if you're a top five, you're gone regardless. Doesn't matter who you sign with. But my opinion, what I'm thinking is just that, like, if you're a mid-major and if you're not getting the, I mean, obviously, it's only two rounds. So if you're not getting drafted or a chance, if you're not in the top 10, you might as well plan to go back to school, period. Because even if you do, you're not going to get – you might get drafted, but still not to get a contract, which means you still risk eligibility getting back into school, right? But obviously, who am I to say anything about, you know, where people should go? Because honestly, truthfully, if you're going to be in school for 1 or 2 years, you might as well not even go. You might as well save that. I feel like schools need to save that spot for kids who are really going to stay there for 4 years. It doesn't make any sense to load up these teams. And I know it makes it because it's only a money thing. It's not necessarily about getting in college education because honestly, truthfully, you go there for one semester and literally if you're a top five player and you know you're going to get drafted, you probably don't even show up for the rest of the year for classes because you know you're going to flunk out. Period. It's not even a game. It's honestly, truthfully what happens. It happens you start the school year going to school. So right after the first semester, soon January come, you literally don't show up, and maybe even December. So in December come, you basically just be on campus for the rest of the year. So why? It doesn't make any sense to even do these one-and-done situations, right? I mean, you really should save these spots for kids who's going to go straight, you know, to college, probably an opportunity that's going to stay in and build that university relationship. Everybody is so happy and proud about these kids having 1 year relationship somewhere. It's really pointless, but it's all about a money thing. And NCAA does not care. Basically saying you are encouraging college dropout loans. You make millions of dollars in the process and you don't have to pay the government. Why? Because it's considered charitable. Job. So basically, you don't even have to pay taxes for the shit that you rake in. Can you believe that? But I mean, we all know that story. So kids are going a different route, right? So we got this RJ Hampton kid from Little Elm High School. His father played basketball, played professional overseas. I think he played maybe 1 or 2 years professionally here in the NBA. So obviously, he's a kid who, I'm going to say his parents have money, but it's not like he's living in an apartment situation. His dad saw the brand new opportunity. His mom and his family saw a brand new opportunity. So he decided to take his talents overseas instead of being one of the top five players to go to college and play locally for a year. So obviously, he's going to play in the NBA, NBL, National Basketball League, was his affiliation of Australia and New Zealand. The good thing about the NBL, I don't know why I'm struggling to say that, is the fact that it has a lot of affiliation with a lot of former NBA players who bought an owner that are part of ownership group, get provided opportunities that the NBA is not providing a lot of players. And it might be because they don't have the money. That might be the small truth about it. We all know how Michael Jordan got his situation. Bob Johnson, who was the founder of the BET Network, had this short sale because of his divorce. So he basically gave the franchise away to Michael Jordan for like cents to the dollar, basically. So that's how Michael Jordan became a majority owner of an NBA team. And obviously worth billions of dollars now. And it's so crazy. I hate to jump, but it's true. Like, but even when you think about that, like, there's no, honestly, truthfully, if we're being honest about all these woke players and all these players in the NBA, and I'm not even, you know, podcast, not even that type of podcast. I never really talk about these type of things. But honestly, truthfully, if we're so woke, the Charlotte Hornets should be in the NBA championship. I mean, at this point, the Charlotte Hornets should have five or six championships right now. Right? You got the NBA's first African-American or minority owner, American minority owner ever. And nobody wants to go play for the franchise. But we're so woke. Moving on. Anyway, so the NBA DL is a lead. Then, like I said, majority of former NBA players are putting money into it. Some of them are in the ownership group, which is wonderful, and it's growing a lot of community. So RJ Hampton went ahead and went. And then he sent out a message, honestly, truthfully, about LaMelo Ball. I almost said Lonzo. LaMelo Ball, the youngest Ball brother, who's really doing really well this summer. He put himself on his own platform, you know, by entering to the Drew League, which is a summer league basketball tournament league that a lot of NBA, current NBA players and maybe former NBA players, but mostly it's usually current players who come in and out of the league. And it's a high school gym which is renovated, obviously, by Nike. It wasn't renovated before, but obviously Nike found an opportunity to make money off of it, so they went ahead and built a whole brand new gym. It's still a high school gym, though. But it gains a lot of crowd, a lot of notoriety and stuff like that. But he's been tearing up that lead to show. And he's been working up at UCLA with Rico Hines. Rico Hines is a former NBA player, currently a Sacramento Kings assistant coach. I don't know if he's with the Kings or he's with their farm league, the NBA DL. He might be with the Kings. But anyway, so Rico Hines played for UCLA. He's been hosting a UCLA like open gym at one of the old gyms, and a lot of NBA players, a lot of high school, like graduating high school players and college players come and compete, also, you know, maybe once a week or something like that. So, I mean, honestly, we had no idea because he went overseas. But honestly, the kid can play. LaMelo Ball actually got game. Right, the man, the kid obviously he got some professional experience overseas a little bit, but the kid can play ridiculously. It doesn't matter who's guarding him, NBA player, college player, high school player, it doesn't matter. The kid's already ahead of his game. But I bet you a lot of people don't know. He's supposed to be a senior this upcoming year. A lot of people don't know that LaMelo moved up a grade so he can play with his oldest brother as a freshman. Technically, he was supposed to be in eighth grade that year. Lonzo was a senior in high school, right? Isn't that crazy? So a lot of times, you know, so you have a situation where this kid who literally technically should be getting ready for his senior blowout year in high school, but since he went up a grade, so that already gave him experience to play up, all right? Then right after his sophomore year, actually, I don't even know. Did he play? Yeah, right after his sophomore year, he goes and plays overseas before his junior year, comes back and plays as a senior in high school for a prep school against mostly high school teams. I think almost all of them were high school teams. But, I mean, then you're like, oh, God, what's the next? He's not going to college. You know, he's not playing for a college team. Who's right? And, bam, guess what happened? He gets an opportunity to play in the NBA DL over there in Australia. Just like that. And what he does, opportunity, takes it. That had nothing to do with it, right? And the kid goes on a summer tour and demolished a whole lead to let you know that he is ready to play. And he will be just fine over there. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's not a top two pick next season, next NBA draft. Right, so all this stuff is going to turn around. Oh, his dad is this, and his dad is this. The talent lasts forever. When the talent is there, it outlasts all the riffraff. You know what they say? When the fake is gone, the real survives. And it just shows that regardless of what people may have felt about the father, he was right. He said his son, the youngest, will always be the best. And it looks like he will be the best. You can say thing about Michael Jordan's kids. Jeffrey Jordan, he basically walked on at Illinois, didn't really do nothing there. But then you look at Marcus Jordan, who obviously, you know, played at Central Florida, had a good career at Central Florida, and he's the shortest one of the bunch. Doesn't even look like him, honestly. And, you know, now he's an entrepreneur. Maybe the youngest is always the best. Maybe that's what it is. I mean, I don't know. So we'll see what LaMelo does over there overseas. Bar no injury, nothing like that. He comes over here and be a top pick. People don't understand that if this boy come back here and be a top pick, no kid, you might as well forget about the one and done. I think the one and done is about to be over soon. But you could have a big chance that kids won't be going to college route if LaMelo comes to be a top two pick. They'll be straight overseas, Europe, wherever. Somebody's line's going to be blazed up. And guess what? The NBA is going to run right and get them before they go overseas anywhere to get some of that first-year action. That's right. So we'll see what the college – then the college will be back. College will go back to normal it was for a few years, you know, where, you know, you had the night, you know what I mean, you have okay regular season. And then March Madness coming in, it really shows who's the best of the best. Because really, truthfully, you live for March Madness. And you want to see kids that probably you don't want to think of Zion. Like, we already knew Duke was going. They didn't make the championship, but we assumed Duke was going to make the championship. You want to get to a situation where you don't know where it's the whole point. You don't know who's going to win. And that's why this NBA season is probably going to be the most exciting part of the season. And moving on to topic, the USA basketball. Okay, USA basketball has usually had a lot of teams, all these top five, top 10 players, they can't even get them. They can't even get the B players. They're not even getting the – I don't even know who would be a B player. But they're not even – they're getting the C's and D's. All right, I just saw some starting lineup the other day. Here's this potential starting lineup. De'Aaron Fox is a good player. I don't know if you necessarily think that he's – ready to be a starter for the USA basketball team. P.J. Tucker. Come on now. P.J. Tucker barely starts for the Houston Rockets. Brook Lopez. Maybe that might be a height situation. They picked him because of his height. But, I mean, he's really only really known for his threes right now. But, who knows? No Kyle Kuzma. So, you got Chris Middleton. So, I guess you're looking for a three-range shooter. So I guess I can understand that with Chris Middleton a little bit. I can respect that a little bit. And honestly, it makes you go one. Let me look at the roster, actually, why I got this podcast rolling, because I want to see what is the actual roster. Because Kemba Walker better. Let's see. At least Kemba Walker should be starting on the national team. And I understand this is not the regular next year's Olympics, but they have to qualify. So let's see here. I mean, Jason Tatum's on the team. Kyle Kuzma's on the team. Derek White. Kyle Lowry withdraws from the team. Michael Beasley can be considered. He's been pulled from consideration. So who they got left? They got, crazy. You got to really struggling to figure out who's playing. And I think why. The reason why the national team is so lacking the star-studded teams, I mean, you can't even get James Harden to pull up for a little bit. Because everybody – so basically all the NBA – most of – all the top players feel they have a chance to win the championships, and it's so being so close because everybody knows that you have in college you have to report by August 31st. Honestly, but college will start a little sooner. NBA, you got to report by I want to say September 3rd or the 30th. I want to say the 3rd because the 30th would be right before it might be the 30th, but you have to report time. Right, and these kids, they're about to go. So it is the 30th. So that's a report by the 30th, which is literally like 3 days after they'll get back from the World Cup, if they win. So the 15th, because I'm looking right now. So the 15th. So that's 10 days. So they have 10 days that will have to get back in 10 days to start training camp. So a lot of players don't want to risk it. It's just too much work. It's just too late. And maybe usually this thing starts usually in July for when I'm in June or July. But it's starting so late this year that a lot of players don't want nothing to do with it. Heck, the Tokyo Olympics in 2020 is July 24th to August 9th. So even the Olympics is a little – I mean, so right now, a couple of days ago, the Olympics are going to be over next year. But for some reason, they started the World Cup a little late. Which the qualifier, I would say qualifier. I can't say it's the World Cup, but, you know, the qualifier. So you're not going to get the top epsilon players. So that's they have a situation. So they need to, I don't know, I wish them well. Obviously, you want to play, so we'd be in a good pool. But it does make me interested to see after next season who will play on the national team. Right? It may be, I don't think LeBron because he didn't play in the last one. I don't see Chris Paul, maybe just outdated. I don't know. Like, I see a lot of players, you know what I mean? They wouldn't even let Carmelo play because they think, no. That's how God works. You got God works. I'm going to talk about something else. Carmelo Anthony. I have no idea why Carmelo Anthony is not on a professional basketball team. If you could deal with players doing all kinds of just that interesting the word, the NBA may not have those type of issues the NFL have. But come on. Carmelo, I mean, you guys paying people $5 million to sit on the bench to hand water up the road. You paying players $400,000 to be on the D-League team. But for some reason, you're not sitting there and you're not playing anybody that's not supposed to be there. So it's so confusing why players like Carmelo Anthony won't get the time of day from teams when he clearly should get the time of day with teams. The man is a pure shooter. So regardless of what's going on, so the USA Basketball, but I understand Jerry, the commissioner or the GM of USA Basketball, I understand his point. He says, I understand he wants to play to prove that he can play in the NBA. He needs to go to the NBA and prove that. I respect that, honestly. First, I was like, yeah, whatever. But I kind of understand. I understand what he means. I understand, like, you want to prove to play NBA. We don't need that platform. We don't need that attention because he'll get it. He'll definitely get that attention. So I understand where he's coming from with that. So we'll see. We'll see. But I feel like he should get a Miami Heat. Teams got money for him. Honestly, truthfully, they offer him nothing. But he's a veteran, so he has to get a certain amount because of the player's agreement. So, I mean, I guess nobody wants to give him $5 million. I don't know if he could waive that or whatever it is. But he has to get vet minimum because he's a veteran. I mean, NBA take care of the veterans, though. I mean, speaking of veterans, I mean, my man Vince Carter is about to play year 22. Is it 21 or 22? Vince Carter been playing in the NBA for 21 seasons. Okay, he already passed Kobe. And now, man, I was just making a comment about Derek Favors about how you can just go way to the top and crash, or you can have a steady career. Andre Miller is a nice point guard who had a longevity of career just by staying on the radar. So, like you can say, you can feed a man fish, or you can teach him how to fish. You got to think about Vince Carter had a couple good seasons. But, you know, being able to dunk, and I ain't going to say this, he was just restricted to that. But honestly, look out below at one point, and then he transformed and got a jump shot and got a jumper. They gave him longevity in the NBA. And he still, obviously, he can still play, and he's okay coming off the bench, which guarantees him longer time to play in the NBA. Vince Carter's a rare breed. You got a person like Dirk Nowitzki who literally hobbled all through the last season just to get his 20-year mark, right? I don't even think Kobe averaged 20 points the last three seasons of his career. So, you know what I'm saying? You just got to look at a situation like longevity sometimes work. It works in your favor. It just – obviously, it's not working in Carmelo. I watched an interview the other day with Stephen A. Smith, and he was talking about – do you think you're wrong for signing that deal in 06? So you thinking a 21-year-old kid is wrong for signing a multi-million dollar deal? Thinking about what he was going to do 4 years from then? No. He's not wrong for that. He's not wrong for staying where he was. He didn't know that was going to form in a super team, you know, 4 years from there. I mean, even if you did know, just all conversation, you didn't think it was possible. So we got to say, oh, yeah, he's greedy because he took the money. He took the money when he had no other option. He's like, oh, well, I'm not going to win. I might as well take the money, which is that's the kind of thing you do. You're not going to, you know, it's just the way it is. Like, if you're not going to win, you take the money. There's nothing wrong with that. Carmelo Anthony, I don't know why he's not playing the NBA. I feel like there's a lot of other people who can't play to get chances. Y'all giving people contracts that don't got no reason to be on the court. They shouldn't even be picking up the jerseys off the back of the stool. But you are. But that's another thing for the NBA. I mean, you know, you try to be optimistic. I'm trying to be fairly critical of everything. I really don't understand why Carmelo's not in the NBA. But maybe something will happen before the season starts. Heck, who knows, right? My thing is, why everybody sleeping on Golden State? Obviously, you know, Golden State has great chemistry. I mean, we lost KD, But at least be contenders in the West. I don't care who you got. You got Steph Curry who can go off for 40, 50 points, even though a lot of his shots are careless and he makes them. But when Klay Thompson gets back in the end of the season, that boy shoots lots out. And I don't see – I mean, I look at that fall so many times. I don't see how he tore his ACL. I tore my ACL. Look, nothing like that. I mean – but everything happens differently. Hopefully it wasn't as bad as mine. He'll be able, I mean, and he got the money for the doctors and stuff like that, so he's fine. So here you go with the NBA. So excited about the NBA, see what happened. I know the Clippers and the Lakers play right away, first game of the season, or preseason or regular season. I know it's October 22nd. I don't know if that's pre, so I have to go back and look at that. I mean, like I said, I don't know who's going to win in the NBA this year. It's very confusing. I have no idea who's going to win. But I'm super excited. I'm not betting on no team because I don't know what's going on. But let's talk about Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard, first of all, this might sound like some hate, but we're going to get it over with. First of all, before he hit that shot against the Sixers, he traveled. Okay, he traveled. He literally gathered a whole bunch of feet and walked off and went and scored in the corner. Okay? Second of all, KD plays. Toronto's not even in that series. I remember being a young kid and a young college student freshman year, like, oh, I want to be in journalism. I don't want to be on journalism. I don't want no parts of that. I like the podcast because you can speak freely and people listen and, you know, literally you can speak raw. I don't edit anything. I go straight to it. But the fact that I have to waver to bring something to the table. So you got five people sitting around the table. Roll with me. I'm getting to a point. You got five people sitting around the table and literally they're going over their notes, comparing what the other said, and they got to jump to say something different than the other person, even if they don't mean it in their heart. The only person I give Shannon Sharp the credit because he, no matter what, LeBron James can't do nothing wrong in his mind. That's fine, right? But especially when they get these guest hosts who just saying things for clickbait to stay on, to stay relevant, right? No one, you know, oh, KD's not even the top player in NBA. Well, yeah, he's hurt. But KD, literally, KD never gets hurt. And I don't know how long this Achilles is going to take him to get back on his feet. Hopefully, he can get right back to the game like nobody else. But KD was destroying the playoffs. Destroying the playoffs, period. I don't care if the Clippers got two games. So what, they got two games. He was – when he came back – after missing two series, basically, and came back and got 11 points off the humbug. Hit three threes. Whack it. Off the wood. Ain't even been on the wood. Chilling on the couch. Eating little Debbie snacks. The man come out of nowhere and bust out shots and didn't get hurt. Then it's all of a sudden. Yes, I don't care. Yes, it is discrediting someone. If you're not there to beat the best people, I know people want to say, oh, well, the Golden State, when they had so-and-so, when the Cavs didn't have so-and-so, they won their first one. Fine, they won their first one without. But guess what? When KD was on that court, KD was the best player on that court. And LeBron, the first championship against LeBron, LeBron had his whole team. Period. You can't take it away from KD. You don't want to discredit anything. But Kawhi Leonard literally didn't play half of the season. He got more rest. And honestly, the East, he hit a lucky shot against the Sixers. Sixers are still probably not ready to win a championship. You got like there was some real contenders on the East. There wasn't some real contenders on the East. They were contending against each other to win. Period. Okay? You know what? I just thought about it. You don't even have to give KD the credit. That's about Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson was on a tear till he hit a fast break dunk and he landed on his leg incorrectly. Actually, I still don't understand how he tore his ACL. When I used to dump like that, I used to come down like, I think everybody who jumped like that come down. I don't see, it was just a freak accident. Because really, truthfully, the knee didn't buckle. Nothing really happened. He just came down wrong and it tore his ACL. But let's not act like he wasn't on a tear. They at least go to game seven. They at least probably win. I don't know. Klay Thompson wasn't there to win it all. But guess what? Even with Klay Thompson not there to win it all, they still, if Steph hits, goes for a correct shot, start trying to hit a three and he goes in for a two and hits a two, they go in overtime. Let's stop giving Kawhi Leonard. What makes Kawhi Leonard so good? What makes Kawhi Leonard so good? I watched the man play, and he's tough. Obviously, he was able to hold Giannis down, which, I give him that. He hold Giannis down, and he finished very well. But let's stop discrediting people that really out here do this stuff. Okay? Let's stop acting like Klay Thompson wasn't carrying the Warriors and most likely would have beat the Raptors without KD. And let's act like with KD, the Raptors even had a chance. Come on now. KD came off after missing a month of basketball, hitting no worries. The fact that he got hurt is because he had no worries. Trust me, if he had worries, he would have favored that leg. He didn't favor it because he didn't have no worries. So let's stop giving Kawhi Leonard all this credit, all this dogness. He's the greatest. He's the best player in the NBA. I ain't going to do LeBron like that. LeBron ain't the best. He may be the best. I don't know. But to say Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the NBA, I don't think so, bro. I don't think so. Like I said, he travels way too much. He gets away. You like LeBron back in 2012. Hold on, that Heat team got away with so much back in the day. That's basically what Kawhi Leonard is today, right? So you have that. So I'm interested to see what happens in the season, right? I'm truly interested to see what happens in the season. All right. Let's talk about this topic, okay? I'm going to cover this one. It's a very interesting topic right here. Let's talk about...
Who's right? Hold on. And who knows what is best for me?
This is what Tina Turner.
You make the moves in your life that you need to. You accept what people say about you critically if you're strong enough to handle it. And that's how I live my life. Because the moves that I've made have been positive ones.
See, that's Tina Turner. All right. Well, that lady just came on. But honestly, look. Everyone knows I used to coach high school basketball. For a few years. I coached college for a few years. This is first year in 11 years. I'm not coaching any sport. Just focus on my other business endeavors and traveling a little bit more, which I'm totally excited for. But this is not a TED Talks, Talk About Me podcast. But I'm very excited for this upcoming year. You have no idea. I didn't know how excited it was. I was going through a little depression for a minute, like just wondering, like, oh God, like how I'm gonna adjust, not being ready, getting ready for basketball season. I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine. I think about where I was at last year, trying to get to know a whole new team, trying to bring in a whole new system, trying to take over a program from a coach who literally been in school since his conception. And to trying to do that, trying to break up different, you know, cliques and assumptions and stuff like that. So it was a very tough situation. You know, obviously I look back and think, dang, what I could have did different, what I could have did different. But only God would know, only heaven knows. I just know I had the opportunity and it was just I needed to move on from and focus on other things to secure my personal future, to make sure I'm still striving. So I might get back into coaching sooner or later. But getting back into coaching, right? Now I get calls from coaches across the country. I don't know how they figure out about me. I don't know how they get my resume or whatever. You want to help me join? You like this one coach calls me and says, "Hey, Coach Woods. I'm not gonna say his name, but I'm starting a prep school in Arkansas. Do you want to join me on staff?" Prep school in Arkansas. What? You're starting a prep school in Arkansas. You're going all the way to Arkansas to start. I don't understand. So, you have to adjust. Maybe I'm just old school. maybe only college basketball or no basketball is because there's no way I can be related relative to this today's world, right? You have to like club ball is so important now, and you know, it's a traditional high school route. It's just blah. You just literally you're playing high school ball just to get to the summer because all the recruitments are coming through AAU camps and AAU programs and AAU tours and AAU. I mean, cause schools don't even call the schools anymore. They look calling the AAU coaches, right? So it's giving people the opportunity to start creating prep schools. I live in Arizona. I don't think there's any prep schools in Lower Arizona, but Phoenix, there's prep schools all over the place. I've been called by to come on staff to a prep school in Phoenix. You know, kids are 19, 20 years old. Very interesting, very different from the normal. I'm from Ohio, where high school sports are very important. I mean, they even pay the coaches correctly, in my opinion. But that's not here or there. You know, it just shows the popularity of – then you have social media. So you have social media gaining and helping the attention. So social media is making a big following. These kids are so famous. They going on – you know, like – when you go to summer leagues and it may be some college players, some high school players, some pro players. These high school players are going on tour to cities they ain't from, getting free flights to so-and-so to appear in someone's summer league. Ain't that crazy? These high school players are going around putting on dunk contests before they even got it. They're more famous before they even step into a college arena or a college campus. Ain't that crazy? Like, it's just so different. It's just so different. And I'm very interested to see how the future goes when it comes to this sports marketing. I honestly feel like college is going to be secondary at this point because these kids are getting recruited professionally at this point. Now, I mean, you get the one kid that works with Rich Paul who got a $5 million internship to work for New Balance. And I'm pretty sure the guarantee was if you get signed that you need to sign a contract with New Balance, which I'm sure he had a problem doing that. You $5 million, 18 years old, you're already a millionaire. So, of course, he accepted that deal. Didn't even have to step on a college or an overseas court. Just had to do internship or whatever internship they were doing over there. So those are different opportunities that Rich Paul was getting out there, right? It's just crazy. Like, it just shows that in order to be in this game, it's a business. It's getting to a business where I don't even know. Honestly, you probably see some high school coach or some AAU coach at an elementary school recruiting. I wouldn't be surprised at some. So. You got to look at it. You got to look at it with a whole lens and see what's going on. So it's very interesting to see how sports are evolving differently. It's a business. I mean, their social media following gets them recruited now, right? You go get you a slam dunk contest. You go take a couple, you know, so you just do a video. You crossing someone over. You going viral. They don't even know if you could do X. You have X and O's down in your system. They just know that you are exciting. So I don't even know. It seems like now the kids have to display themselves on social media versus going through that. When I was coming up, the only people getting recruited, the people who play high school sports, and the person who knew that was your high school coach. You come in there, you come in his classroom, or you come in the locker room with your little letter saying, hey, we know who the hell you are. And then, I mean, 9 times out of 10, it was just an interest. It was never an offer. And then maybe you get an offer, maybe your senior year, if that. But now, I don't even think they even call the high school coaches anymore. Honestly, kids sign. I mean, what's the one kid? Cole Anthony Gregor Anthony's son. I think he waited till last minute to say where he was going, saying he's going to North Carolina. I would like to see him at Georgetown, but he ended up at North Carolina. But he just. I'm just saying, like, they have these signing reveals and all this other stuff. Speaking of signing, man, I really try. I want to live my truth. So HBCUs, historical black colleges in the United States. Obviously, at one point, they were very popular, especially in athletics, because of the segregation, the fact that a lot of black athletes weren't allowed to go to major universities, or they weren't accepted to maybe you get one or two, but now obviously not. I mean, now you can pretty much predict that at least 80 to 90, 90% of the basketball players are going to be, able to go, and then 70% of the football players are minority descent. I feel there should be another wave of kids. If they're going to go a route, they need to go to the HBC route. I just feel it would be a give schools opportunity to rack in some of that money that these lot of institutions are getting, and it will help the overall student body financially on campus, and financially it will help with student loan, it will help with everything, because right now it costs so much to even go to even get the experience. It costs so much because the school has so less, or not enough, rather. So that was one thing I would like to see, a wave of players just pick a different route. If they're not going to play college at a Duke or a Kentucky, they will pick a small school, maybe not even Division I school, and help them. Like, prime example, Walter Payton. Walter Payton went to Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State, obviously, historic black college. And honestly, I mean, and Archie Griffin was at Ohio State University. Both competed for the National Football Player, award, right? He was at, Jackson State, okay? So really, if you're good enough, they'll find you, period. So I would like to see that wave a little bit. It's just so much. There's so much emotionally going on in the athletic world, a lot of sports world. I mean, in politics, things are changing. The pendulum is swinging. Maybe I don't necessarily like LeBron on the court, but I love him off the court, what he's doing with athletes. A lot of athletes are becoming their own entrepreneur. They're partnerships instead of endorsers, right? You can't just pay me $1 million to hold your Pepsi. No, you're going to give me some stock. You're going to give me some equity in your company. Matter of fact, you're going to fix the recreation parks in my neighborhood that I grew up in. You're going to fix that neighborhood. That's part of our contract. You're going to give them some basketball. You're going to give some lights on the basketball court. You're going to repaint the surface, and you're going to donate some basketballs. Matter of fact, you're going to host a tournament for high school, summits or whatever it is. You're going to host. So I like the leverage that a lot of these athletes are pulling out in their contracts. No longer you're just going to give me a certain amount and do nothing. You're going to do something different, right? You're going to have a person like, I think KD has about what? I think with his Nike contract, they remodeled so many basketball courts. LeBron James, with his contracts and his endeavors, obviously created a whole school that not only helps the kids, but it helps parents to further on their education as well. So, and they're excelling too. So, like, I like the wave of athletes taking over their own career. The whole people get upset about old players, they don't stay at one team. It probably never going to happen that way, because you get leverage by moving around, right? You get leverage. Look at all the money that goes into your accounts and all the endorsements and all the other clickbait, all the stuff you get, all the hype you get. I think LeBron knew that in 2010 when he made a decision to go to a Boys and Girls Club and take the proceeds from ESPN's announcement and to put it into the Boys and Girls Club. I mean, in 2010, he saw that site. He saw that different. And you can't complain about that. It's like I said, he would probably go along, maybe not the greatest physical player, but he would definitely go around as the greatest athletic entrepreneur athlete of all time, period. You can't, because what he's not doing, he made it possible for other people to do it. So maybe his name may not be on that sheet, but the fact that he did it first, give people opportunity to be able to do it. KD's following the steps. Draymond Green's following the steps. Anthony Davis is following the steps. A lot of athletes is following the steps. A lot of athletes are creating their own websites. A lot of athletes are creating their own podcasts. I know Danny Green has a podcast. I know JJ Redick has a podcast. I know Gilbert Arenas have a podcast. I know What's Your Face has a blog, has a TV show. KD has a TV show. LeBron has a TV show. They're getting to Evan Endeavors. They're helping their career. We will never – it's getting to the point where these kids do right by themselves, these young athletes or these older athletes or whatever, they won't be wanting to be an analyst on TV so they can keep making money. You understand that a lot of these professional athletes are only analysts on TV because they're broke. It's not because they want to sit there and be wrong about their predictions all day and or talk about their glory old days or when they were athletes and how they felt they were better than the other person. Paul Pierce obviously was not better than Dwayne Wade or whatever, but he always compared his career. Actually, Paul Pierce, honestly, truthfully, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I know you don't know who I am, and I know it's a little podcast. But Paul Pierce, come on, bro. Come on. You literally have maybe I don't even want to go on. But anyway, I'm just trying to say, like, I'm closing with this. Like, I got it. You have to respect the entrepreneurship, and you have to have some self-motivation in your own personal life or whatever podcast or whatever person's listening to this, young kids who listen to this or whoever's listening to this. You need to create some more equity in your own life and use yourself as leverage. And whatever opportunities are provided to you, you need to extend your own personal growth in those opportunities. Where you are, if you are a high school coach and you're not getting paid in dirt, nothing, you need to figure out how to get paid something else, right? Whether it's going to creating a book or creating a playbook or creating camps or getting invited is different. Or you're a college, if you're a JUCO college coach and you want to become a bigger college coach or you want your name out there, well, you need to create some, maybe some high school coaching clinics. Take you as a college coach, junior college coach or not, you're still a college coach. You're above the other level. And you create your own basketball coaching clinics and you teach coaches how to be coaches. High school coaches, you could do that to middle school coaches. Middle school coaches, if there are some, I don't know. You can do that to elementary. Like, you trickle down. You find one opportunity and you split it, right? It's like taking that orange. You got one. Ooh, it looks so good. You got one orange, right? You bite into it. You don't give yourself an opportunity to split it with anyone else. But if you cut it, then you realize you don't need the whole orange. You can split it off in different areas. And then you can share it or you can feast on it later. So not saying you need an orange, but life is not like an orange. But if you need an orange to pick what I'm trying to say, split the orange up, put it away for later, or share for opportunities so you can grow, period. And that is my episode for the day of the City of Coaches podcast. Thank you guys for being with me and listening. I totally appreciate you guys' support 100%. And I will be back at the start of the NBA basketball season. I want to see what Kyrie Irving does in a Brooklyn Nets uniform. And that's all I want to say. And that is it. Peace. When you can't say shit, my hatred is you. Just give me a sign. And I let the world know that the city is mine. What?